Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the First Church Williamsport podcast. I'm Mitch, and each week, Pastor Janet and myself talk more in depth about the message from the previous Sunday. We ask some tough questions and set aside time to focus on God during our week. Now, this week, we talk actually more about loving our neighbor from a Christian context and the conversation about unity. Thanks for joining us. Hey, everyone, and welcome back. We are on week 7 of our Romans podcast, nearing the end. Thanks again for joining us. And before we get started, Janet, would you be so willing to read the scripture from this week?
Yeah, so this week we took a look at Romans chapter 13, and we really zeroed in on just a couple of verses. So this is a really short passage of scripture that I'm going to read for us, and it's verses 8 to 10. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other command there may be, are summed up in this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Now, that scripture is short. It's relatively easy to understand, right? You know, love your neighbor as yourself. And the hard part is really putting it into practice. Mm-hmm. In the sermon that I shared on Sunday, I shared a story that Brené Brown has told. But each of us have our own stories of how we've been challenged to love our neighbor as ourselves. When I didn't share this in the sermon, but when I think about this, I think about a person named Madeline, who was in seminary with me. And Madeline was so incredibly different from me. And I remember, like, the first week of seminary going to my New Testament class. And Madeline, like, not only raised her hand, but she stood up. And Madeline said, I'm probably going to out myself, but I just want to tell you that I don't believe Jesus actually rose from the dead. And I had this moment where I'm like, you're not in Kansas anymore, Janet. Like, this is, like, not what I was expecting. And Madeline was a Unitarian Universalist, and she had really different beliefs. Like, that was probably the most significant one that was just so different from me. And Madeline was so smart. Like, Madeline just had this brain that was just, like, an amazing at putting things together and articulate and just really good speaker. And it just seemed like every class I took, Madeline was always in my class. Mm-hmm. By the time I got to the end of my seminary experience, classes are smaller, they're elective, that kind of thing. And I was down to just a couple of classes. I was actually a part-time student. And wouldn't you know, my very last semester, Madeline still is in one of my classes. Like, it just seemed to be every single time. And in fact, we were often paired up for projects and working together. And didn't I, in this very small class, get paired up with Madeline? Which I thought, this is going to be such a challenge for me because we thought so differently. I mean, she was one of the most progressive people that I knew, and I was on more on the conservative side when I was in that community. And so we're working together, and in the course of our working together, Madeline shares with me that her husband was battling cancer and had been battling cancer for the years that we had been going through seminary together. And it was like such a moment where it just really changed how I saw Madeline. And I think that what I learned was that I had been viewing Madeline as a position. Mm. Like, I saw Madeline's beliefs and they didn't line up with mine. And I wasn't able to see past them. But once I had a window into Madeline's life, I saw Madeline as a person. Mm-hmm. And it just absolutely transformed our relationship. Now, we didn't become best friends. I mean, it was the end of seminary and all that. But it certainly, like, took away some of the distance that I felt with Madeline.
You see, to soften your heart a little bit.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a great way to say it.
Yeah. Has that impacted you? Like in other relationships since then?
Well, you know, I remember it, mm-hmm. you know, like when I think about what is a story of someone who challenged me to love my neighbor as myself, that's where I went. And that's, mm-hmm. that's quite a number of years ago now, but it was a lesson that I've learned. And I kind of tie it back into, you know, in the sermon, I offered the question, do you believe in general that people are doing the best that they can? Mm. And I think that window into Madeline's life allowed me to see that she was doing the best that she could. And that allowed me to offer grace to
right.
her.
Yeah. I mean, Jesus sees us and knows us deeply. And part of what I'm hearing is that when we are able to see people, like truly see them, it changes things. Like it's just different.
I think that's right. Yeah. Yeah. Do you have a story?
I do. Yeah, I do actually. I was thinking, listening to you talk about your experience. So I started vocational ministry at Blairsville. So I worked at WyoTech with automotive students for 3 years. I lived on a farm and it was an incredible experience. I learned a lot. And I look at those 3 years as a very formative time in my Christian faith. While I was there to minister to students, I feel like God was teaching me probably more than, mm-hmm. you know, in that time. And and one of the realities at WyoTech is that that there was mostly male population, right? And so like 97% of the population were male. And so there was a small population of females, which I didn't really have interaction with those individuals. And as I was there for about a year, I learned that there's a good portion of that percentage, the female individuals, that would actually go and they would earn money by driving about 15, 30 minutes away to work at a strip club. And I learned that, and I was taken aback, and I did everything I could just to like steer away from them, right? And so there was one particular night that we were doing a Bible study, and we would go into downtown Blairsville. There's a coffee shop that they let us be in there after they closed. It was beautiful coffee shop, and one student, his name's Joe. He would call me Father Mitch, and I would say, Joe, I'm not ordained, nor am I Catholic, but he would just stick on it, and he thought it was great. And he came in with two of these women, and they sat down, and we had Bible study with about 10 of us, right? And through that, I got to know them as individuals, and they both opened up just about what they like, their lives, and even why they were doing what they were doing that way. It was just a revelation to similar to you of like just seeing like who are you, what is your experience? And you know, I didn't think of that question. Do we really believe that these people are doing the best that they can? And I think that's a really helpful question. And that was a moment for me that I've remembered and can continue challenging myself. Am I really seeing these people, or am I seeing the statement that they made, or that one mistake, you know, that they made, or whatever it is, right? Yeah. So that was helpful for me.
Yeah, I think our stories really have some parallels. Mm-hmm. And you know, the funny thing is when I think about it, like I always think I'm doing the best I can.
Don't we all?
Right.
and when we aren't doing the best that we can, either we've convinced ourselves that we are, or we're saying, well, I deserve some grace here. You know,
exactly.
Those other people, they deserve justice. But I deserve grace, you know,
yeah.
because I am trying my best and I fell down and, you know, and so we're so quick to mess that up.
Yeah, so true. And you know, the other parallel that I see in our stories is that both of us are sharing stories in a Christian context.
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
were in a Bible study.
Preach.
Struggling to love another, your neighbor as yourself. And I was in seminary struggling to love another person as myself.
Which I think that this is actually a particularly interesting observation, because when we hear this, like love your neighbor as yourself, our minds, at least like the messages that I've heard are normally, well, people that aren't here, people that don't exist like in the church building. However, there's a lot of judgment that happens between Christians. A lot.
Yeah.
And so I'm just going to put that out there to let you respond however you want.
Well, I just think it's a good challenge for us because, you know, there was a verse in Ephesians that you mentioned in Ephesians 4. Mm-hmm. If you want to pull that up and share that with us.
Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. Actually, this is verse 3. It says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope, you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. I've heard it said that we need to fight for unity in the body of Christ. Mm. And the first time I heard that, I didn't know how to make sense of that because I don't know if I've ever seen it. If I have seen it, I don't know where. I can't recall it. Because when I think of fighting for something, I think of sweating and crying and giving your all. Like, I'm going to fight for this. I want this. It's not convenient. It's not easy. It's messy. It's emotional. And I'm going to stick through this even if it's not there. And just simply, we don't see that in the American church. Mm-hmm. And we don't see that from denominations or expressions of Christianity that are different than ours. Mm-hmm. And so it's interesting to think convicting to think about what does it mean to fight for unity.
Yeah, and that's not like an isolated verse in Ephesians, because we throughout Romans have been talking over and over again about how Paul is really writing to the Roman church to encourage them to be unified, the Jewish Christians and the Gentile Christians. Right. And it is, you know, like that verse in Ephesians, keep the unity in the Spirit.
Yep.
So Paul in Ephesians is also writing to the church, to the Christians, not to people outside of the church, but to the people who have the Spirit.
Yeah.
It's convicting.
It is very convicting. Because one of the main criticisms that I believe Christians or the church, capital C, has, and I think rightfully so, is that we don't get along with one another. For whatever reason. I don't know if you have any insight or any rationale or reasoning. Perhaps there's good reasons for us to find. I mean, we have examples where Paul and Barnabas, right? They go separate ways because they weren't able to work together. So I'm not sure what to do with that. Maybe there are theological reasons, or maybe there's a way to stay unified even in that moment. Not that God wants that to happen, but now I'm making a lot of comments. Yeah. I don't know. So you correct me where I'm steering wrong.
Well, I don't think you need to be corrected. I think, you know, we started out with the question of why is this? Mm. And, you know, we've been reading Romans. Why is this? Is it that sin has grabbed hold of us? Mm-hmm. And that has torn us apart. It has torn us apart from God and torn us apart from each other. And, you know, now we're in this part of Romans where Paul is now addressing how do we live life in the Spirit? Mm-hmm. And so, The simple but not simple answer is that we more and more seek to live into the Spirit. We could talk for hours about how you do that. That's the purpose of our life, is to grow, to be sanctified, to grow as Christians, living more and more in the Spirit. And I just found in this particular passage about loving our neighbor as ourself that for me, the one way that I'm seeking to do that now, how do I do that, is that I look at other people and seek to extend the same grace that I want given to me by viewing them and just believing that they're doing the best they can and give them the benefit of the doubt. Doesn't mean that they can do anything they want. And anything is okay.
That's right.
Obviously.
So can I ask you, have you gotten better at doing that over the years?
I think it ebbs and flows.
Okay.
I thought you were going to say, have you gotten better at doing that since you've been focused on it? And I was going to like go, yeah, I have. But then you said over the years, and I'm like, I don't know if I have or not. Because I think that one of the things is that as we grow as a Christian, God continues to give us like a next level challenge.
Yeah.
You know, and so I feel like God is continuing to shape me and to grow me.
Right. Well, one of the reasons I asked that question is that years ago, so I'm 37 now, and when I first came to First Church, I was 25, and I think I was probably about 29, and I was caring a lot about something. I don't even remember what it, right? Which is, interesting to say, but I was caring a lot about something, and the couple that was part of First Church, they said, you know what, as you get older, this, the things that you care about change.
Oh, that's so true.
And I think looking back, you know, since that moment, I can certainly see how that's true. And these things that seem so very, very, very important in order for unity to occur just seem less important at this point in my life. And now I'm not perfect at it, but I do believe that that is true, that there are certain things that I it would be easier for me to fight for unity through circumstances at this point of my life, of my faith, than when I was 27, 29, however old. And so again, I'm still growing, but that's why I asked the question, like, what does that look like? And it's ebbs and flows for me as well, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's really great. I mean, like, that's the goal, is that we're moving on toward perfection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I have another story.
Okay.
Can I share the story? So there was another, this is again when I was younger. So I was a French horn player when I was younger, and I had the opportunity to study under two individuals, more than two, but these two particular individuals. One, his name is Bob Lover. He was the fourth French horn in the Pittsburgh Symphony. Insanely talented, great, just a wonderful, wonderful man. And I studied under Bill Caballero after him. Also insanely talented, wonderful, wonderful man. And they were very, very different stylistically. And Bob would tell you, he said, I'm not the most talented, so I had to learn over the years all of these technical things about how to play the French horn. Where you put the hand placement, the lip placement, vibration, breath control, how quickly you press on the vowels, et cetera, et cetera. Very, very technical. And later on, I went and started studying under Bill, and he would ask questions like, what is the picture you're trying to paint with the music that you're playing? And you were very emotional during that run. Why were you emotional? What was and so can you guess which one I responded more positively to?
Oh, I have no idea, right? No, I know exactly. You like to paint the picture.
I did. Bill Caballero. And that was, well, I just loved it, right? It was an emotional response. That's who I am, right?
Right.
And so paying attention to all these like details and everything felt like I was waking up. It probably felt like I was waking up at 3 a.m. to work on the farm and just, you know, drudgery all day. And at the time, I would say, I had said to myself, well, Bill is the better French horn player. He's a better teacher. And because he's more like me. I relate more to him. And Bob is amazing, but, and as I've gotten older, I look at that and I can, you know, honestly say they're both phenomenal French horn players. And I have a lot to learn from both. And I really appreciate both for what they offer. They are so different and they bring such a beautiful, unique perspective to music and to my learning experience. And over the years, I think that has also happened in my Christian faith where I have a lot of room to grow. There's a lot that I don't understand. But similarly, I can take a look at someone that expresses their faith differently or is a different place in their faith journey. And at least it's a little bit easier for me to say, it's just a different place than where I am. I might not understand it, but maybe that's okay.
I think what you're highlighting is that unity does not mean uniformity. And Paul really addresses that in chapter 12 when he talks about the spiritual gifts and being part of the body and how there's different roles for different people. And the beautiful thing is in our differences, if we can be united in Christ and find unity despite our differences.
I want to pull out my guitar and do a worship song because I feel that was beautiful. So, Janet, thank you so much again for a wonderful conversation.
Thank you, Mitch. It's always good to talk to you.
Yeah, and thank you so much for joining us. And we'll look forward to talking one more time for our final podcast episode for this sermon series. Janet, before we finish, would you be willing to pray?
I would love to. Will you join with me in prayer? God, we just give you thanks that you see each of us through eyes of love. Help us to do the same as we look at our neighbor. And God, help us as people who have so many differences, for those of us who claim you as Lord and Savior, to come together in unity, not uniformity, but unity. So God, will you grow each one of us so that we can more fully love our neighbor as ourselves? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Hey, thanks for tuning into this conversation. Our hosts, again, are me, Mitch Marcello, and Janet Durwachter. Our editor is Katie Conrad. And if you want to hear the full message that we discuss, you can find them on our anchor.fm or YouTube channel. You can learn more about First Church by checking out our website, downloading our app, or following us on Facebook and Instagram by searching at First Church Williamsport. Thanks so much. Have a blessed day.